We're going to turn today to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, we have been here for a while. Well, God helping us today, we're going to make some good progress. Romans chapter 6, to refresh our minds, we will go back to verse 1. We are endeavoring today to successfully cover three verses. If you're frozen, you won't be for too long, maybe. If you're hot, you won't be that either for very long. Okay, Romans chapter 6, let us give our attention to God's eternal and infallible word. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now it is this first verse that the apostle spends time then through the chapter to explain that grace does not lead to sin. Sin leads to sin. Okay. Verse 2, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified, or was crucified with him, actually, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We end our reading at verse 11. And we do desire that the Lord, the Spirit of God, who breathed this word so long ago, may the Lord breathe upon his word today, that we would receive this apostolic message to our hearts, that our lives would be so encouraged and impacted by the truth, that his name would be glorified, that we will be edified, and that sinners lost would be justified for Jesus' sake. We are looking especially at verses 8, 9, and 10 as our text today. For 35 years of my life, I have lived on a farm in eastern Lawrence County. And you know, when you have received mail in the same mailbox for so many years, you can easily recognize a bill from the water authority at a simple glance. I was thinking about that even as we came by the Jackson County Water Authority, the sign said. And when I see that familiar letter from the water authority, what did I do? Immediately I began to think, I hope we didn't use as much water this month as we did last month. Well, there's not as many of us in our household as there used to be. Well, tearing the envelope into useless smithereens, there have been times in recent months that I have shockingly discovered that the bills actually belong to either Myra or Luke. At that point, I have begun to formulate my apology, and I've rehearsed it in my mind. I'm sorry I opened your bill. I've been getting those same envelopes, just like that, in the mail for so many years that I mistakenly thought it was mine. Well, when we come to God's Word, we have to be very careful that we're reading our own mail and not someone else's. There are verses in the Bible that are just like that. You have to be careful about opening and reading other people's mail as though it belonged to you. If you take a verse, for example, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it is popularly quoted that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We believe that part of the verse, and we believe all the rest of the verse. Now, that verse is not written to or for all people on earth. Let's think about it. If you simply go back a little earlier in the verse, the scripture says, the Lord is long-suffering to usward. That is an older English way of saying what we would say, God is very patient toward us. Okay? 2 Peter was written, you know, I can tell when I tear into one of those envelopes, I see the name and I feel ashamed. Well, when you go back to the beginning of 2 Peter, you will see who the letter is addressed to. That's very important. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, the scripture says that Peter is writing to certain people. He says he is writing to them that have obtained like precious faith. They have already obtained like precious faith. 2 Peter was written for and especially addressed to born again believers. So verse 9 only applies to those to whom it was written. The Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any of the usward should perish. Who were those? 2 Peter 1:1, them that have obtained like precious faith. And you know what? Not one of those who obtains like precious faith will ever perish. But they will all come to repentance. Now, let's go to our passage here in Romans 6 with that in mind. Our text for this morning, verses 8, 9, and 10, has to do almost exclusively with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is true that there are benefits for our lives and experience from this, but we must be very careful in reading and in interpreting God's Word to keep the particular references to Christ Himself that are exclusively regarding Him separated to Him in our thinking. Now, Paul is still defending salvation by grace against the charge that grace only leads to more sin. No, grace does not lead to more sin. It is grace alone that produces holiness. Do we expect depraved humanity to produce holiness? No. It is grace. Now, grace leads to holiness where there is real grace. For the apostle says in verse 7, he that is dead is freed from sin. Just think about that. A dead man is out of the realm of sin. Can't be charged in this world anymore with sin. For us who are in Christ, we are in union with Christ. And Christ cannot be charged with sin. And He says by His Spirit in Romans 8, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? For it is God that justifies. So there are three things I would want us to see from these three verses this morning. First of all, in verse 8, we see our union with Christ. If you look at Romans 6, 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Now, the apostle is saying because of our union with Christ, since we have died with Him, we shall also live with Him. Now, if you carefully take this in the context, you will see that it has to do with our life and our living right now on the earth. He's not talking about how it's going to be when we're in eternity with God. No, look at verse 4. Look right back at verse 4 of Romans 6. It says at the end of that verse, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That will not apply to us when we get into heaven with God, in the eternal state. It is not speaking of that time of eternal glory in heaven with Christ, because we will need no exhortations like this then. For at that time, we will be sinless and unable to sin anymore. As 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 tells us, for when we see Him, we shall be like Him. When we see Him as He is, we won't sin anymore. I'm looking forward to that. Now, the New Testament gives us many proofs that our union with Christ, being in Him, believing on Him, our union with Him by faith, that's how we're united to Him, by trusting in Him, by relying upon Him, by believing on Him as our only Savior and Lord. Now, by that union, here and now, we have died with Him, we have been buried with Him, and we are risen with Him and seated with Him, actually, in the heavenlies at His throne, even now. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that. Ephesians 2 verses 4, 5, and 6. God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He gives us such a scripture in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Literally, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So our being in Christ has something to do with how we live now. Our union with Christ teaches us that in and with Christ we died to sin, we have risen with Him into a new realm, a realm of spiritual life that has nothing to do with sin. Now, that realm and our new nature has nothing to do with sin. And we still have trouble with the body, with the flesh, but the new man is not the one that is involved with the sinning. It's that old flesh. It is this very unredeemed body that we have to contend with. Then we come to verses 9 and 10. Let's notice verses 9 and 10. These have exclusively to do with Christ Himself. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Now you see verses 9 and 10 are entirely about Christ and not strictly about us. these two verses set before us the immortal dominion of Christ. Death has no more dominion over him. No. He has dominion. Romans 6 has always disturbed me. I think I've told you this before. In my reading through the Bible, I've always had problems in coming to Romans chapter 6. It has always bothered me. Okay? Chapter 4 and 5 have always been an encouraging comfort to my soul to read about grace and justification by faith alone. I said, amen, this is wonderful. And then I've come to chapter 6. And I've had many questions. I've come to Romans chapter 7. And I've been reading there about the struggles against self and sin. And I can identify with that. And then Romans 8 gives us assurance and hope regarding the future. But Romans chapter 6 has always disturbed me and brought before me many unanswered questions. Because I really haven't understood it. I'll be very honest with you. Therefore, I have tended to avoid this chapter, as some people try to avoid Romans 9. I have avoided Romans chapter 6. And I would either read through it quickly, trying to keep from getting too many doubts suggested to my mind. But now, thank God for the turning point. I'm beginning to love Romans 6. I'm beginning to understand what the Spirit of God is saying here to the comfort of my heart. And this is quite a transformation that's taking place in regard to Romans 6 and me. Verses 9 and 10 are exclusively about the Lord Jesus Christ and His activity. The dying to sin in verse 10 is all about Christ dying. You see that? For in that He died. He died unto sin once. And you got to keep that very clearly in your thinking. It's not talking about His death for sin. Notice it says here in verse 10, for in that He died unto sin once, or to sin, in regard to sin. Doesn't say anything about our sins at that point, in behalf of our sins, no. As the hymn writer wrote, the Savior lives no more to die. He is totally free from the realm of sin and death. Now, He died for our sins once and for all, and He will never die again. He does not shed His blood over and over again, as the Roman Catholic Mass teaches and depicts. His resurrection by the Father's power proves the full acceptance of all of His work that He's accomplished in our place for our sake. Now, our sinless Christ voluntarily placed Himself under the burden of our sin, under the law's penalty for our sin, and under the power of death that comes from that burden of sin. Death actually had dominion over the Lord Jesus Christ for a time. Now notice what does it say there in verse 10 and verse 9. Knowing this, that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. So death did have dominion over Him for a short time, in that He voluntarily submitted Himself under death's dominion for our sin. Now, thank God, since He has finished our redemption, death has no more dominion over Him. Rather, He has dominion over death. He claims that. He is the one who holds the keys of death and of hell. Now, once having completely satisfied the demands of the law, He was no longer under that law. He is no longer under that law. Death could only touch Him when He was under the law. He came here put himself under the law, as Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6 tell us. He came to deal with the problem of sin. He has done it, and now he has gone back to glory. His dying unto sin once, in verse 10, is only the work of Christ. It's true that Christ died for our sins, but this is not what verse 10 is about. Remember, our union with Christ is in this context, and our very union with Christ proves that this is not saying anything about Christ dying for our sins at this point. For when he dies for our sins, that is our justification. This is not talking about justification. Rather, it's talking about his glorification, that he's no longer under the dominion of sin and death at all, but rather he's living and he dieth no more. Praise God. Now, okay. So, what, in our union with Christ, what is true of Christ is true of us. We died in him and with him. We didn't die for sin. No, we died in him and with him. He died for sin. Verse 10 is not saying Christ died for sin, or it would be true that we also died for sin. But no, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 tells us that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Not one of us died for our sins. That is, in order to atone for sin. No. So what does verse 10 mean? He died unto sin once. It has to mean that Christ died to the realm, to the reign, and to the rule of sin once and for all. Hebrews makes this fact clear over and over again, that Christ died to sin once, as it says here. Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once. That once has the sense once and for all, never to be repeated. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27 shows that Christ, unlike the Old Testament priest, did his once-for-all sacrifice when he offered up himself. They had to make many sacrifices. He made one sacrifice. Chapter 9 and verse 12 of Hebrews, by his own blood he entered once and for all into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hebrews 10 and verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Now that makes it very plain. His work was so complete, so full, that it never needs to be repeated. Christ has forever died to the realm, to the reign, and to the rule of sin and death. And thank God that he would even put himself under it for us, even for a moment of time. Now, this brings us lastly to our third thought. We have considered our union with Christ, and we have considered, secondly, Christ's dominion over sin and death. We come, lastly, to the living, risen Christ. If you notice there, it says in verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Now what does this mean? He liveth unto God. Never again will Christ die. Scripture calls Christ the last Adam, if you notice that. It does not call him the second Adam. Of course he is. But he is specifically called the last Adam because there will not be another representative of the human race after him. Adam was our first representative and he failed. But Christ is the last Adam and he has succeeded. Now what does this mean? In that he liveth unto God. Verse 10. It cannot mean his obedience, because he always lived obediently to the Father. It cannot mean the type of life that he lived, because his life, even on the earth, was lived entirely unto God. It has to mean that the life that Christ now lives is lived in a very special way. What way is the life of Christ lived right now? It is lived entirely and exclusively in the realm of God. His life was lived in the realm of sin. And he submitted himself to death in that realm. But now his life is only lived in the realm of God. Now what does this mean? It was that time when he subjected himself to hunger, to thirst, to grief, to agony, to weariness, to sorrow, to pain and death. He voluntarily did this in order to redeem us. He even allowed himself to be completely cut off from communion with God the Father for a short time for our sakes on the cross. But now he is back where he was before. And he looked forward to that so much. He said, Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. And he said, he speaks of that glory which he had with the Father before the world was. Back in the bosom of the Father. He was looking forward to returning to that very place where he is now. So now he is back where he was before, in the realm of God alone, at the Father's right hand, now always fully enjoying his Father as he had from eternity. Now, I'm done. Let's see what blessings we have in these scriptures to apply to our own hearts. First of all, it is very important for us to be careful when we're reading the scriptures to see who is being spoken to or who is being written about in the scriptures. This can save us a lot of confusion and a lot of grief. And I would say that there are things in Romans 6 that apply specifically to Jesus Christ that have troubled me. And I have read it and I knew. And my family can tell you, I have not measured up to the fulfilling of everything in Romans chapter 6. And that disappointed me. It made me feel so sorrowful and so shameful that I didn't even want to read Romans chapter 6. But you know, we can be saved a lot of confusion and a lot of grief simply seeing who is being written to or written about. Verses 9 and 10 are exclusively about Christ. Someone may read verse 10 and say, I want to die into sin. Well, that's good. I want to die to sin too. But that's not what verse 10 is talking about. It is not talking about our justification. It is talking about Christ dying to the realm and the reign of sin. Sin did reign unto death, even over Christ for a time. But now he is eternally delivered from that realm of sin and the region of sin, and has been for nearly 2,000 years. He is forever free, forever glorified. Hallelujah. Now, for every believer here, let us give thanks to God for our union with Christ. We have been given faith to believe on him, and thus we are united with him. We are united to him. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. What is true of him is true of us. I died in him. I died with him. I was buried in him and with him. I was raised in him and with him, and I am seated now in him and with him. And that's my true home. But he's left me here. He's left you here so that we would, even as Christ in his earthly life, was subjected to learn obedience in the things that he suffered. Now, yeah, praise God. He is risen. We are risen with him. He is exalted at the Father's right hand. And there we sit in Him today, according to Paul's writing in Ephesians chapter 2. What a comfort our union with Christ gives us in a world filled with violence, sin, and death. I know you have been very aware, more aware of us who've been secluded from so much media where we have been. You're very aware of the bombings and the rocket blasts in Israel. You're very aware of the plane crash. And there's so many questions about that. But we understand that we live in a fallen world filled with violence, with sin and death. But we are joined to Christ. Those of us who are in Him, we are united to Him securely and forever. We safely rest in Christ, though the earth itself be removed, as Psalm 46 says. Our young people and many adults here have been concentrating for several weeks on the book of Ecclesiastes. We have seen in it how utterly vain and empty and useless life on earth is under the sun without Jesus Christ. Only real life in Christ, only union with Him gives us real purpose, happiness, peace, and security amidst a troubled world. I hope that each of you really know Christ this morning. Are you united to Him by a true, humble, trusting, believing, living faith? If not, I warn you, your existence on this earth is very uncertain. It is a very dangerous existence. It is frightening and it is vain. Seek Christ today while He may be found. Don't wait until the troublous day of terror and of wrath, because it will be too late. Let us pray together. Oh God, our Father in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou hast given Thy Word to us. And Thou hast given Thy Word for us. Lord, we are so glad for this teaching of what union with Christ is. We are so glad for what Christ has accomplished for us. And we are glad that even now our Savior lives no more to die. And Lord, we are so glad to be joined to the living Savior so that we can live in the power of Christ now and then perfectly forever. Once we get there, we look forward to never sinning again. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt write Thy Word upon our hearts today. Minister to each need. Oh God, I know what it is to sit amidst the people of God and yet to have no peace. Lord, please bless Thy truth to every heart, to each child, to each young person, to each adult. Oh, we thank Thee for Thy great love and goodness to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.